5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello, welcome to another hour of Tech Talk with me, Stephen Scott. And this week we are getting into all kinds of tech with an old friend on the show. David Woodbridge is back with us. And I believe it's your birthday today, David. Hello, David.
It is. Thank you. I'm on the 57th level of the life game and I'm still enjoying myself.
Yeah. You're in the third round of that joke as well. Heard it. Yeah. We've also got Robin Christofferson with us again from AbilityNet. Hi, Robin.
Hi, guys. What an honour to have David on his birthday.
I know.
I hope you collect some power-ups along the way.
is that how it works, is it? Yeah. Okay. And we've also got Andy Wynn. He's back with us. Emails Andy back here as well.
Hello. Hello to you lot. How are you all?
Yeah, we're all right. I'm all right. So I'm sitting
we're all
here.
We're having a drink for David's birthday.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but I think David's well ahead of that game. How many vinos have you had? Vino de Colapsos have you drank so far?
I've had absolutely none, but of other beverages, I might have had about 3 to 4 so far.
Oh, I can't wait for this show. Listen, this is one you do not want to switch off. This is going to be great. Let's wind them up. But the reason we wanted you on this week, and I know you've been talking a lot on your Twitter feed, which I encourage anybody to read. I just find it a really brilliant mine of information. I'd be happy, to be honest, and I say this with all respect to Robin and Andy's Twitter feeds, but I'd be quite happy if I only got David Woodbridge's Twitter feed, to be honest, because it's just great. It's always full of something that I don't know or, you know, want to know about, because you're the guy who, you know, spends so much time playing with the tech. You've got way more time in your hands. I'm basically saying you're lazy. You don't do anything else. I'm being, you know, nice and also horrible all at the same time. But yeah, I mean, you are the guy who spends so much time playing with the tech, and I know you've got something that I have, and I want to compare notes with you on it, and that is, of course, the new MacBook. You've got the new one with the new M1 processor. You also got the AirPods Max as well, so really looking forward to getting into that. And staying on the Apple theme this week, I know I can just hear the groaning from the audience immediately. Oh, no, again. No more Apple love. But look, it is very difficult not to talk about it. I think we might get into some of the reasons why as well a bit later. We are going to be hearing from Joanne Wilson today from RNIB's Technology for Life team. She's here to tell us all about the new exciting features within iOS 14 that you may not know about. So she's going to talk about that today as part of our regular conversations with the Technology for Life team. If you want more information about what they do, if you need some support with your technology, and you think that, you know, by sending an email to us means that you might get the question answered within a year, then that's great. You can do that. If you're willing to wait a year, you'll get the answer. But if you want an answer a little bit quicker than that, you might want to call the RNIB Technology for Life team. And you can do that by calling 0303 123 9999. 0303 123 9999. But look, before all that, I want to tell you, this show today, it goes on air on Tuesdays at 1 p.m. on RNIB Connect Radio. It's also podcast at the same time, as you know, because you're listening to it right now. It takes a little while for us to get the show going, and today it was particularly difficult because, I'm an idiot, I think. I don't need to say that, but I thought I would, because I like to be honest with people. And so I got myself... and I should say this was at the suggestion of someone else, a new mixing desk, because my last mixing desk blew up last week, just after we finished the show. Actually, I was doing some work and there was something I'd bought myself a new pair of speakers, lovely speakers, by the way. I don't know if they still work because they may have blown up as well, but we haven't got that far yet in this mess. But yeah, I got these lovely little speakers, Audio Engine A2 Plus, actually. Have you heard of these, David? These are pretty nice little speakers.
No.
Tiny. I mean, they're really small. I mean, they are... I'm trying to think. I'm holding one in my hand. I mean, I can hold it in my hand. It's so small. Very heavy, though. But it's an active speaker, which means you plug it in, and then you can plug a source straight into it. It's not like speakers, like bookshelf ones, you have to connect up with speaker wire. Although you have got that option. It does have speaker wire inputs as well. Anyway, I got these with the intention of using them with the mixing desk. And I was on a call. I was on a business call. And I'm on the call and I'm sitting here thinking, finally, it's taken me years to get my setup the way I want it. Everything's the way I like it now. All my audio's routing to where I want it to go. Everything's working the way I want. The audio sounds great. I'm really loving this. And I thought, what I'll do is, in this excitement, I will plug in these speakers. So I plug in the XLR cables to the mixing desk, and then I take them along to the little RCAs, little red and white cables that I plug into the back of the speakers, and I plug them in. Bang! No, it wasn't a good bang. It was a bad bang. Smoke followed.
Oh, goodness.
And I made a rather panicked phone call, or call, I guess, to Be My Eyes, and asked the ultimate question that they were asked this this year, which was, is anything burning here? And bottom line is, no, thankfully, it was just a wisp of smoke that had clearly come from the mixing desk. So I did what any sensible person would do, and I put the mixing desk in the bath. And
without
a shower.
Water?
No, I gave it a shower. Oh, yeah, because it might be on fire. You've got to take your chances.
Your wife wasn't in the bath at the time.
Yeah. Drop it
in. No, no one was in the bath. I should point this out. No, the bath was empty. But yeah, so the mixing desk is dead. It's gone, which is a shame. So I had to buy something else. And I was going to, at Robin's suggestion, actually, I was going to just buy exactly the same mixer. And I thought, well, I could do that. But truthfully, and this is a chance to buy something else, right? I mean, this is a chance to buy
new
toys.
What could possibly go wrong?
So I got myself this. And this is a really weird setup for me because I'm, like a lot of blind people, I guess, you know, when you work in audio studios or radio studios or whatever, I'm used to tactile desks, you know, or mixing boards, you know, so you've got the physical fader, the physical buttons, the knobs, everything else. That's why I love analog, because you've still got all those analog tactile buttons and knobs to push and pull and twist and everything else. But I decided this time to get a bit more technical. And as I say, at the suggestion of someone else, I bought a Mackie DL165S. Catchy title. And it's a rack mount mixer. So you put it in a rack and you plug everything in, so it's all hooked up. And you connect it via USB. I'm not going to go beyond that, because to be honest, I don't even understand beyond that at the moment. But the whole thing is controlled via an app on your iPhone or iPad. So you don't have any buttons, any knobs, anything at all. Everything is on the iPad. And what is most shocking of all is that the app is fully accessible. Completely accessible, every single bit of it. There's a difference between something being accessible and therefore knowing how to use it. I have no idea. I mean, you know, the control panel for a NASA rocket might be fully accessible, but I'll still not be able to launch the damn thing, right? So I personally, I'm very pleased with this because it's fully accessible. I am learning it slowly. Bit weird not having a physical desk in front of me, but I'm loving it. So money well spent. Until next week, when I'll tell you it's the worst thing I ever bought and I'm craving my old desk back. So yes. Andy,
meanwhile, we're recording the show with not a lot of time to go.
With not a lot of time. And it didn't help because I had got my loop button stuck on my software, which meant that when we started the show off, you know, when we kick the show off, you get this, right? Well, I couldn't get it to stop.
You're not supposed to tell these behind the scenes secrets there, you know.
Yeah. So now people know exactly how this show works, which is basically sticky tape and chewing gum holding it together. But
it's the good old scissors and cut the tape.
Yeah. But I'm loving it. It's really weird though. Having a mixing desk on an iPad. I'm sensing David is going to want this now. I just he's thinking, this sounds good. This sounds good.
While you were talking, I just counted the knobs on my desk, and there's 58 of them.
Wow.
And that's not the buttons. And this is a moderately sized one. I think yours was bigger. So, yeah, you've gone from a lot of knobs
to nothing.
To not a knob.
So on this desk right now, there is a monitor, there is a keyboard, and an iPad. And that's it.
Wow.
Everything else is in a little rack unit to the side.
Oh dear, I was very impressed by myself. I haven't bought anything now for, hang on, 1, 2, 3, 4 days now.
Minutes.
Yeah. You're about to ruin that now. That's very bad of you. Oh dear.
I know.
Very sad now.
It is a really interesting piece of kit. I mean, look, I think you have to be... okay, here's another secret in all of this. I'm not setting this up, right? I've got somebody who is an audio engineer. He knows this stuff. I just get him on TeamViewer and say, have fun with it. Figure it out. Like, you just tell me, I'll tell you what I need. You make it happen. Always have an audio engineer friend handy. I find that very useful. Have a plumber, have an electrician in your phone book, and an audio engineer. Always useful. So I'm glad we cleared that up. So yeah, that's my new setup.
I think we need to get the person on who was at the other end of the phone call at Be My Eyes when they're getting a call from you saying, is anything... can you see fire?
Yeah. That's right. I'm sorry, sir. You'll have to call your emergency number for that sort of information.
They're not on Be My Eyes. It'd be so much quicker, though, if you think about it, if 999 was on Be My Eyes. You could just say, is anything on fire? No. Right, don't need to come out then. It's great. I've just saved your journey.
Yeah, as they see you and you've just got singed eyebrows.
Your hair is on fire.
Yeah. Oh, it was.
Makes me think what other kind of weird questions they must get for Be My Eyes. They must get a lot of things like that. Is anything on fire, or can you see a lot of water flooding out of the sink? Or,
well, yeah. I tried. So I had to do something at the weekend, which involved Be My Eyes. Unfortunately for them. Because let's just say, since it's been snowing here quite heavily, so the past couple of days it was starting to clear, and as a result, the garden was in a bit of disarray, and I had to go out and deal with it. So all I'm going to say is, because it's a family show, and you might be munching into your sandwiches at the moment, so you might not want too much detail here, but let's just say the dogs live with us. We've got two dogs, and they obviously don't go to the bathroom the way we do. So they go outside, and, you know, let's just say the garden, as I say, was in a little bit of disarray. And I had to go and deal with that problem. Can you imagine the response that I got then from Be My Eyes when I said, can you help me here? Because I just need a general steer.
As long as it's not smell-o-vision, I think.
Yeah, well...
Be my nose.
Yeah, the person was very nice about it, but I'm pretty sure that person will not be volunteering again for Be My Eyes. Sorry.
Although I must say, I've used that too, because sometimes my guide dog does interesting things on the way to the clothesline. And being summer here in Australia, I'm normally in bare feet, not in shoes. And sometimes it gets very interesting going to the actual clothesline. So I've learned in previous experience that I've got to just double check that there's no obstacles between me and the clothesline.
Yes. Mm. Always sensible. That's the problem. And the thing is for us, I mean, I don't know, you're in maybe a different situation, Robin, but for us, you know, I've my wife is visually impaired as well. So, you know, both of us are on the same boat. She would never use Be My Eyes for that. She would just be utterly mortified. But, you know, I'm just like, it needs to be done. I've got to do it. So,
you got to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't leave it. So, yeah. It's interesting because I always remember people saying to me and I think back to this, when I got my first guide dog, I was 19 at the time. And I say first guide dog, my only guide dog. And I remember them saying at the time that it was not the responsibility of guide dog owners to pick up their business. And I thought,
what?
Really? And I kind of live. I'm a lazy guy. I'm quite happy to leave things. So I was like, okay, fine. That's it. I've got. There's a rule somewhere. There's a law that says I can't do this. So I'm sorry, can't do it, guys. And then my wife gets a guide dog last year, and she's being told you got to do this. And what I don't understand is how it's got from that to me doing it. I don't quite understand where the line crossed there. Something went horribly wrong at that moment. But yes, I've got to say, Be My Eyes is brilliant. Seeing AI, there's a bit, there's a channel, poop channel.
For you.
Yeah, there's an app idea somewhere, isn't
it? If you can have a smiley pile of poo as an emoji or, yep. or a graphic, you surely can have a AI detected on the ground as well.
But imagine it got mixed up with like a tortoise or something. That'd be a shame, wouldn't it? You'd be over there trying to stick a tortoise in a poo bag.
After I've actually had my fourth glass of wine this evening in Australia, I'll actually email Microsoft for that suggestion, shall I?
I don't think you need to wait to the fourth glass to be
courtesy of Robin from R&IV.
You know, it suddenly occurred to me. So, you know, Microsoft have been augmenting the Seeing AI
The World
database with, well, there's that as well, with the LiDAR, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But no, I mean, there's a project over here called Orbit that City University London have partnered with Microsoft about. And I was involved in that as well, and we've done some promotion. And we were always talking about the sort of things, because basically what it is adding items that are VI specific that wouldn't otherwise be in the object database. So things like, you know, dog's harness, you know, braille displays, whatever it might be. I didn't think about poo. We didn't talk about
poo. Well, it always seems like a joke, doesn't it? But it's actually really...
It's quite serious, though, yeah.
Because like particularly if in the house. You know?
Yes.
Well, at Vision Australia, a couple of the offices are actually in sort of city areas. So we've actually got dog runs in the building. So a person takes their dog out to the dog run, and then it's their responsibility. Now, sometimes you actually can't find the object that the dog has dropped. And I think it would be good, because if you could use a AI thing to say, well, the object is 2.4 meters in front of you, that'd be really good. Because I know sometimes my guide dog goes and it's like, where did you do it though? And you're not going to get on your hands and knees and try and find it. But I think
braille paper is what somebody once told me they use. You just run it across the ground. Once it's found it, you know, you've got it kind of thing. But yeah, shovel and bucket. Yeah.
I mean, the other thing But this is an interesting one, right? A friend of mine told me this. I didn't believe her when she said this. She said what she does is when the dog's doing what it's doing, this is just ridiculous in my mind, but what she does is she puts her hand on the dog's back. So the dog is obviously in an arched position. She puts her hand on the dog's back, runs her hand down the back of the dog to the dog's tail, waits till the dog moves away, and then she knows what the remains
the item
are.
Is.
Yes. And that's what we're
describing there. I want to see the back there crossed a line. I just don't know.
But the thing is,
being very polite, he's doing very well.
But while she's doing this, the dog is looking at her like, "What are you doing? Leave me alone!" Yeah, this is not appropriate. Anyway, I find that quite interesting. So, yeah, how do we get from mixing desks to poop fine. Anyway, well,
I feel like this is like something. I feel like this is like MacBreak Weekly, where they talk nothing about technology. They just spin off into
the
realms of conversation.
Yes. Well, you know, I like to talk. Well, let's be honest about it. I don't get to talk to any people anymore. I mean, I'm not out of the house. This is the only chance I get to talk. And my wife doesn't care
about
this.
And what do we talk about?
Well, let's talk about let's talk about something else. Let's talk about Apple. That's a nicer smell to talk about. By the way, there is a second candle out. Do you know that Apple? Well, Apple don't sell these, but I can't remember the name of the company that do it. Actually, there's a company that sell candles that smell like MacBooks.
What?
Do you know, yeah, do you know. I'm surprised, David. Come on, I'm surprised you don't have one of these.
No, I don't.
Apparently the first one, which they stopped, yeah. There's a second one, which I can't remember what the smell is of it, but it's not the same, which is why I didn't buy it. The first one smells of a newly opened MacBook. They've harnessed the smell, which, if you think about it, is genius. Because everybody loves the smell of the new box and the opening up and nice. And then, you know, 5 minutes later, it's covered in grease and you think, oh, well, that's that. But, you know, I love this. But the second one, I can't remember what the second one smells of. I'm sensing Andy is Googling.
Yeah, and I've just seen the price and I'm immediately turned off. I'm not paying it.
It's Apple price.
I'm not $20 US dollars for a candle, if I found the right one, that is.
A Yankee one would cost more than that.
Oh, that's...
Or an Australian one, for that matter.
Yes, that's right.
So if I found the right one, you'll find, this is in the website show notes here, it says, you'll find strong notes of bergamot, lemon and tarragon. Is that, that's not a mad smell, is it?
I don't know what this one is trying to smell like. It's not, the original one was better because it smelled like a new MacBook smell. Although I would say this, it's a new MacBook on fire. Because it's a candle, right? So if you set fire to a MacBook, I guess that's what it smells like.
They need to bring out one that's mixing desk on fire.
That's it.
I could coin that because I've got the smell right here. I could can
you
it.
You could.
Yeah.
Can it. Absolutely.
Notes of flame.
And dog smells.
And electricity.
That's it.
Look, let's talk about Apple, not candles, actually, but although I must say I do quite like that candle idea. Let's talk about the MacBook first, because I know you've got the AirPods as well, David, but what's your thoughts on the new MacBook? You've had it now for how long?
I think it's been about, where are we, 19th January. It's probably been about 6 weeks now.
Okay. And using it every day or using it as your main?
Oh, look, absolutely. I mean, I've got two of them. So I've got a MacBook Mini, which I'm on now, because it just stays on my desk. And then I've got my little portable M1 MacBook Air. So I've actually
just to
got
be clear,
that
you said that's the wine talking, but you said MacBook Mini. You mean Mac Mini? Because we've had this problem before.
Sorry,
people thinking it's a laptop.
M1 MacBook Air. Sorry, yes, yeah. I know. Yes, so the M1 Mac Mini is on my desk, and the M1 MacBook Air is my little portable unit. But no, I've been really enjoying them. The problem I've been finding though is that it's really random to find iOS apps that actually work on the Mac. Because it's not as clear as I think it used to be. And I've been finding out on the internet that people don't seem to be excited as running iOS apps on their Mac. Mm. I mean, I've just discovered that I don't know if you guys have tried this with the RNIB app over there for your library, but I've just discovered that if I run the VA Connect app for the Vision Australia Library here in Australia, I can actually listen to Daisy books on my Mac.
That's amazing. I mean, that's great, you know, and it's just so much easier than trying to either navigate the website or trying to download some kind of clunky, you know, web app or whatever it is. I mean, oftentimes, as we all know, that the app on the iOS side is usually more accessible. But you're right. The problem is that the developers aren't that keen on it and seem to be actively pulling their apps away. You know, you go into, I mean, look, I honestly was so excited because I thought, oh, Facebook, this will be so much better. I could use Facebook now using that app, WhatsApp potentially. But those options have gone. Because at least on the MacBook side, because I can't load them onto the MacBook, and they don't allow sideloading of apps either, so you can't even do it literally on the side.
No, and look, the thing I've found too is like with this VA Connect app, I can listen to Daisy books. If there's a text based Daisy book like the newspapers, it seems to pick a random voice on the system speech and play that one. Which sometimes being up one of the novelty voices like Zarvox or Good News, which means the Mac's actually singing to you. Mm-hmm. And the second one is some of the controls aren't accessible. So, for example, if I change the category to look from all to, say, books, newspapers, or podcasts, I can't change that particular item because the voiceover on the Mac doesn't recognize it as an object. So there are those little things that you think, geez, it goes to about 90% and then it stops. And I've been finding that on quite a few apps that if you're sort of at the top level of the UI of the interface, it's fine. But as soon as you start wanting to sort of drill down into the interface, that's where the accessibility stops. And it's really disappointing because I just thought, oh, wow, I'll be able to use all these, my favorite iOS apps, like my Audible app, my Kindle app, my travel app, all the apps that I use all the time on my iPhone on the Mac, and it's just not the case. So it's almost like the promise was there, but it's never come to anywhere near what I think it should be.
It's the version of VoiceOver that you're running on iOS apps, the Mac VoiceOver, or is it you suddenly switch to
it? No,
iOS
it's Mac
version.
VoiceOver. No.
It's not as good as the iOS VoiceOver for reading the controls on iOS
Correct.
Apps.
Correct. Yeah. Because I asked this question of people at Apple in the US when it first became available. And I said, are you using an integrated version of, iOS VoiceOver for these iOS apps running on the Mac? Or is it a Mac VoiceOver? And they said, no, it's Mac VoiceOver. So you're not using VoiceOver as it is on iOS, which I agree, Robin's far more extensive and far more flexible. Mm. You're just using VoiceOver on the Mac. And I think that's the letdown.
That means they can improve it, though.
Well, yeah.
Because the accessibility of the buttons are there.
Mm.
It's just a question of upping the VoiceOver ability to access it in those iOS apps.
I think that's the problem. Yes. This is where I think we're going to get to a good place with this, but I think it's so early in the day. Because if you think about it, if you stand outside of the blind world for a second and you sort of forget that for a second, then you kind of ask yourself the question, well, what's the benefit? You know, why would I want to use Facebook on my Mac with an app where I can just go to the website and do it? And that's what we need to get, I guess, the developers to understand. But we also need to make sure, and this is something which I'm really concerned about on the Windows side of things, about more talk of, I don't know if you read the story last week about Microsoft looking to make Outlook some kind of weird web app thing, which just sounds horrific. Well, that's the end of it for me. You know, if that's because my experience of it so far has been pretty bad. It's not been great on the web. It's certainly not usable. I mean, it's accessible-ish, but it's not something you would use every day. It's too frustrating because, you know, as soon as you move something on the screen, the whole screen changes and refreshes. It's not good. I mean, the best combination I've had, well, not so much combination, but the best mail app I've ever used is really the mail app on the Mac. It's just so simple. It's just so quick to get the job done. You know, it's funny. I was using my work computer because I tend not to use my work computer. I'll use it half the week because I'm part-time now. So, you know, I'm using the Windows machine for half the week and I go back to it and I just get so frustrated within 5 seconds. Oh, come on! You know, whereas I've got my mail accounts on my Mac and it's just, you know, get through it. But yeah, I mean, I think that the ability to run apps such as like I say, Facebook or others, that, you know, just make it easier is where we want to get to. I think we will, because obviously the idea is in the end that these apps will unify. And I think what's good about that for us is that we know these apps can be accessible. I will say that I think it's more likely that people will look at Apple as the more accessible option on the Mac side long term than they will currently with something like JAWS on the Windows side, because I think that the challenges are going to be greater on the Windows side coming up. We know what's accessible at the moment, but if that starts changing towards more web-based apps on the Windows side, I think that's going to hit up. I mean, I'm not saying it's not possible for it to be dealt with or worked through, but I think the challenge is going to be a lot greater. And we all know how slow it is for things like that to come along, because we know that JAWS is third party, so it takes time to, you know, catch up. And, you know, and narrators, just, I don't know if it's the one you would want to switch to. You know, you'd have to change your whole way of working.
I mean, a big complex web-based app that most people may have used is Teams. So imagine turning a kind of a desktop app experience like Outlook, which is a complicated but very doable, very usable and accessible app, into something like Teams, which is going to be accessible. So in a way, you know, Freedom Scientific won't have that much work to do, but is it usable? That's the big challenge.
That's always the magic question.
Be a nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, it always comes down to, you know, accessibility versus functionality. That's always the two things that, you know, okay, fine, you can access all the controls, but can you use it in a efficient manner or not?
We've got David Woodbridge with us this week. We're going to continue the conversation. We're going to discuss AirPods Max. You got your hands on those, as did I. We'll be comparing notes a bit later. And we'll get Robin's thoughts and Andy's thoughts on why they're not buying them. Because, frankly, I think it's disgraceful that you're not.
Robin, I'm shocked.
I know. Robin is ridiculous.
Last week I talked about my level of hearing, so it'd be completely wasted on me.
Well, we'll get to that. But
you
first...
old man, you. Yeah. You obviously haven't reached the 57th level of the game.
Oh,
of
no,
life
again,
yet.
That's fourth, I tell you. Are you getting royalties on that, Joe? Listen, stick around. We're going to get back into this. Right now, though, let's join Joanne Wilson from RNIB and the Technology for Life team. We're going to hear this week about iOS 14 and some of the features that are in there.
Hello there. I'm Joanne from the Technology for Life team. Today I'm going to talk about iOS 14, Apple's latest software release from September 2020. As with every new release, changes have been embedded to enhance Apple devices. Not all features are available on all devices, and it will depend how up to date yours is, how relevant some of the information I have today is. There were a number of mainstream changes in the latest software, and this included an app library, the option to put widgets on the home screen, additional privacy settings, and many, many more. Today, we're going to have a look at some of the additional accessibility features which have been included. VoiceOver recognition options is where I'm going to begin. These options can be found by going to the Settings app and selecting Accessibility, VoiceOver, and VoiceOver Recognition. Using on-device intelligence, it will automatically improve the accessibility of apps, images, and text. It does say, though, that this should not be relied upon in circumstances where you could be harmed or injured in high-risk situations, for example, for navigation or for the diagnosis or treatment of any medical condition. There are three main sections within this, and the first is image description. This option will speak descriptions of images in apps and on the web. This can be turned on whenever in the image description menu in the voiceover in settings. Turning on image description does use some memory in the device. And when switching this on, there are also options for whenever sensitive content is displayed, giving you the option to have it speak, play sound, or do nothing to make you aware of it. For a while now, there have been third-party apps which will describe images, but you can also now give photos your own description. You do this by going to your Photos app, selecting the image that you would like to add your description to, and using the VoiceOver Rotor to access Show Details. Select Show Details and then next flick to add a caption. This will then open up a text field where you can enter any details that you wish about the photograph. And when you're finished, select Done and your caption will be saved. The next section is text recognition. VoiceOver will speak the text it identifies within images and photographs using this. For instance, if you've taken a screenshot of an article that you shared from social media, it will read out the text content of that screenshot. Screen recognition is the next one. This will allow your iPhone to automatically improve the accessibility of apps which have no accessibility information. This includes identifying the state of buttons and toggles and grouping related items together. It can be accessed using the rotor, and there is an Apply to Apps option within this menu, which can be accessed by going to Settings, VoiceOver, Voice Recognition and Screen Recognition. And this gives you the choice of selecting specifically which apps you want this feature to apply to. Backtap is another feature available. Backtap gives you the ability to double tap or triple tap on the back of your device to carry out a specific function. To turn it on, you go to Settings, Accessibility, Touch and Backtap. And from here, you can select any number of accessibility options. These include VoiceOver, Zoom, taking screenshots, bringing up Notification Center, turning Bluetooth on and off, volume control, Siri, home screen, there are so many. And basically, when you do a double tap or a triple tap on the back of your iPhone, it will perform that function. There's also options to assign specific gestures to backtap using VoiceOver, and you need to navigate to the VoiceOver commands and touch gestures menu to get there. Scroll to the bottom of this screen and you'll find options for double tapping and triple tapping the back of your phone. Options exist for any other item that can be assigned to a touch gesture. One of the biggest advantages of this feature is that it can be used to replace those really difficult screen gestures that can be hard to perform, and it can just make things much easier. It even allows you to set up more complex actions using shortcuts. There have also been big improvements to the Magnification app. This app, the Magnifier app, allows you to have an updated interface that controls are more readily available and offers more clarity on what each of the tools do. There's options for adjusting brightness and contrast, adding a filter to change what's being magnified to a colour that's easier for the individual to see. All of the controls and filters can be rearranged and tailored to suit your preference. Filters include options for red, yellow and black. There's also a new multi-shot option, and the Magnifier users now can take multiple photographs at one time. So if you had different pages of a document, you could take multiple photos of it and review them at once, rather than having to take single shots each time. You can now also add your Magnifier to the home screen. So if you use your Magnifier frequently, you can go to your app library, search for Magnifier and drag it to one of your app pages by long pressing or choosing Add to Home Screen. This feature can continue to be accessed with a triple tap on the side button as well. There are additional options and features included in the update, but this is just a look at some of the key ones. Another important thing to note is that some of these features will only be available on the later devices. It is always advisable to do some research before updating, particularly when a new software has just been released, to determine what you want to update right away. A great resource of information is the Apple Fizz site, and it posts lots of fantastic up-to-date info about updates and what works well and what doesn't. You can also contact the Technology for Life team at any time for advice whenever you need that too. I hope you find this useful, and as always, any further information can be obtained by getting in touch with us on 0303 123 9999. Thank you for taking the time to listen to me today, and I hope you find it helpful.
Thank you so much to Joanne Wilson there from RNIB's Technology for Life team. Really good to hear all about the wonderful features of iOS 14. You know, guys, I found that really, really useful. It's just sometimes nice to go back over some of the features again and just remind yourself of what is in there. There's just so much in iOS 14. Anything stand out for you, David, out of that? Because there's a lot in there.
Now, my favorite one is always the back tap and the triple tap, because I've got a lot of people that find it very hard to do the two-finger double tap to answer and hang up a phone call. So what I've done with them, I've actually showed them how to actually then do a one-finger double tap at least to then answer and hang up a phone call. So they've actually found that really, really handy. And also the triple tap on some people's phones, I've set up to invoke Siri. So that back tap in particular is really important. The thing I can't understand about the app library, though, and Steve and Robin might have a point of view on this, but why does it have to be the last screen on your iPhone? Because I've got like six screens full of folders and apps, and the app library is always number 7 or 8. So I just thought, surely as a app library, wouldn't you want that more accessible than being the last screen on all of your home screens?
You've probably, you know, spent hours arranging those 7 home screens, but I would just bite the bullet, put everything on your first page, number 1 home screen, and then hide the rest, which you can do, and then the app library will be number 2.
You've shocked him. You've broken David, Robin.
Sacrilege.
You're right. There's no way to rearrange it otherwise.
Well, I'll be honest. I have to agree with Robin. I just don't use the app. And I think it's partly because of where it is. If you had the option to have the app library on the home page, I'd be
I use it all the time. I absolutely use it all the time.
Do you?
Yeah, because I've got, 16 on the home page, and everything else is on page 2.
Oh, so yours is page 2.
You just tap in there. If you just tap in the search box at the top, then you get an alphabetical listing even before you've typed anything. As soon as you start typing stuff, it narrows it down. So there are all the folders in there in the app library, you know, underneath the search box, but I never use those ever.
See, because I cheat, because I just use the handwriting mode. So I've got the handwriting on my rotor. Yeah. I just rotate around to handwriting mode and start printing, you know, ABC for ABC List in Australia, and off I go.
Yeah, I keep forgetting about the handwriting feature. That is another brilliant feature for narrowing down apps.
Broken for a while, so hopefully that's fixed.
It was, but it's working perfectly again now. Well,
my handwriting's been broken for years. If I wasn't visually impaired, I'd be a doctor. That's how bad my writing
is.
Let's talk
about leave it that, or a person that works at the RSPCA, whatever you call it in England.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, that's right. So let's talk a bit about the watch, because I know you obviously update the watch as well, and you've got the new Series 6. What's your thoughts? Because the one that I think is most exciting about, and a lot of updates to the Apple Watch, the most recent update, 7.2, bringing with it the Apple Fitness Plus, which is really interesting, and I think we should definitely touch on that. But the one that really stood out for me was Braille display support. And I think, you know, maybe I'm alone here, but I'm the one who sits here and thinking, what does that even mean? Braille display on with a watch? How do you use it? I know you've been trying it out.
So the first thing to remember is that some people just don't rely on speech, they rely on Braille. So if you're a person who is deafblind, and you've got a Braille display that already works on your iPhone, then by adding that same Braille display to your Apple Watch means that you can use all the benefits of your Apple Watch, particularly when you want to access the ring, so the movement ring, the exercise ring, and the stand ring, and then all the other little bits and pieces that you also get with the Apple Watch. So to me, the Braille support, and I know it was originally in the beta and then it went away and then it's come back again now with, what is it, 7.2, whatever it is. So I think Braille support's very important because up until now, there's been no smartwatch that supports a Braille display for anybody who's deaf and blind or can't use speech for one reason or another but can still read Braille. So from that point of view, it's very important. And also remember the fact that the Orbit Writer, which is the Braille input keyboard from Orbit Research, because that basically emulates itself as a Braille display, then you can end up using just a straight input Braille keyboard to using the Apple Watch. So it's almost like using a Bluetooth keyboard on your iOS device, so your iPhone, your iPad, or your iPod Touch, exactly the same on your Apple Watch. So I'm sitting there sometimes and I think, oh, you know, like tonight here in Australia, I've got to work out what bin night it is to put the trash bins out tomorrow. So I literally just had my Orbit Writer there. I went to the app library. I hit the find command on the Orbit Writer, typed in bin, hit enter. It zipped down to the bin app, pressed enter again, or, you know, the old traditional one finger double tap, relevant one on the Bluetooth keyboard. And I was able to read the app information. So it's basically my green bin tomorrow. But, you know, that type of stuff really increases the functionality of you being able to whiz around the interface by using a physical keyboard rather than just using touch control on the Apple Watch screen.
Well, that's very interesting. I mean, I guess the thing, I mean, all of that is fascinating, but here's the problem I have, right? So, you know, when you use the watch and you, I often have, so the watch is here and I'm tapping away. And as soon as I turn my wrist, it just goes off. So how does that work with a Braille display? Does it still stay connected?
Stays on, yes.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yep.
Because that was what put me off. I thought, well, every time you turn your wrist to obviously read the Braille, it's all just going to go off.
Nope. No, it stays on. I mean, when you put the watch to sleep, yes, it will go to sleep. But what I've also done is I've increased, and I might be wrong about this, but remember there was the two settings of putting the watch to sleep. I think one was after...
Yeah, it was like 90 seconds, and one was
30 or 70 seconds, some of that. But I've increased it to the maximum, and that makes it a bit more reliable. But no, if I'm using the watch properly, then the Braille display stays constantly on, and it just works like the iOS device, my iPhone. That as soon as the Apple Watch wakes up, it re-engages with the, you know, in my case, I've got an Orbit Reader 20 on my Cube Rail, the same it does on my iPhone.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Oh, okay. And also the other important thing is when you're actually using the Apple Watch, you can Braille, or it's got a Braille keyboard. So when I go into, you know, send a message, I've actually got a thing that says Braille button. And if I tap on that, it allows me to type in on an input Braille display. So I don't have to use voice dictation or anything else. I can just use my Braille input keyboard.
Yeah, I like that. And Apple Watch Fitness Plus. Anyone else tried this, Robin? Have you had a chance to try this yet?
I haven't tried Fitness Plus at all.
Disgraceful.
I'm afraid. I know.
Well, I've tried it. I mean, so I what I did was I put on the Apple TV and I sat on the couch eating a bag of crisps, watching people cycle. It was brilliant. I'm all for that. And what I loved was at the end of it, because I watched it right through, because it was actually what I love was they have country music ones, so you can listen to country music while you go on the treadmill or cycle or whatever. And I'm sitting there, you know, eating my bag of crisps. I ended up in a second bag actually because it was on for 30 minutes. And I get to the end of it, and it came up and said, congratulations, you've burned 0 calories. And I thought, hang on a minute, I got to get more crisps.
It's looking at your watch, isn't it?
I walked to the cupboard to get more crisps. Does that not count?
You know, it's called working out.
Put me off the whole thing.
I said, hey, you on the couch, get off and do some exercise.
See, that's when if it started getting interactive like that, I would not be, I'd be throwing the watch against the wall. But it does work well. Well, I mean, as I say, from a stationary perspective, it works really well for me.
Can I say I tried to do it properly?
Tried?
I actually did the treadmill one, and it worked really nicely. The problem that I found from the day one, which I was very disappointed about, was that they only described the exercises up to a certain point. So I just thought, geez, they put so much work into making the, you know, the Apple Watch interface accessible, the Apple TV, the TV app on the Apple TV itself accessible. But geez, guys, couldn't you have just gone from one step more and either had a separate, this is what the exercises are, or get the actual presenters to actually describe the exercises a lot more? Because I just found that very disappointing. Because, you know, a treadmill is a treadmill. A bike's a bike. But with all the other ones, I just thought, geez, that really let me down a little bit.
It's very difficult, though, because the amount of dialogue is very dense with dialogue. So I wouldn't know how you would fit in description. And maybe that's the problem. And maybe we need something extra. But the problem, you know, I was thinking maybe some kind of explainer video or something else that kind of goes alongside. But that doesn't sound very Apple to me. Apple wouldn't do that, I don't
think.
Well,
you get iTunes extras when you buy a video.
You wouldn't get. I don't think you would get accessibility extras like that. They would say, well, no, accessibility is universal. So it's either all or nothing. And maybe
And the funny thing was, problem. Stephen, I didn't know what the abbreviation HEAT meant. So what's
heat?
The HEAT category? High impact training or something?
You're asking the wrong people.
intensity into training.
No.
let's talk about AirPods Max. That's more an area I can talk about. You got the AirPods Max. Now, for those who don't know, these are the overhead.
Who's been drinking,
over your head. I know. I think I'm getting fumes here that are affecting me.
That's it.
These are essentially headphones, not earphones. And what's been your first thoughts of them?
Mine were extremely positive at first, I have to say, very sadly.
Oh.
Because even while they sound very good, there's a few little things that have been really irritating me about. And the first one is, and this almost reminds me of going back to the old Steve Jobs days with the iPhone 4 or the 4S, where you're holding it wrong because the signal would drop off, is the fact that if you don't balance the little cushiony, stretchy fabric bit at the top of your head where it keeps the metal band off the top of your head, then what eventually happens is the metal starts sitting on the top of your head. Now, because they're fairly heavy headphones, that weight, I just find, if I'm going to wear headphones, I'm going to wear them most of the day. And I've just been noticing that the skin on my head is starting to get really, really sore after a few days of wearing these AirPods Max. So I don't think that sort of snazzy mesh band trampoline thing at the top is really doing what it's supposed to do. Because I've got my other gaming headset here, and the band that goes over my head is nowhere near the steel band that's on top of that mesh. It's about, you know, in you guys' measurements, about an inch. In my measurements, about 2.5 centimeters. So it's nowhere near it. But the distance between the mesh and the steel band on the AirPods Max is not much give. So if you accidentally bump your headphones, the steel band hits your head. And the other thing about it is,
So you've got the mesh. I'm just feeling them here. So you've got the mesh, which kind of is supposed to be like a cushion on top of your head.
Correct.
And then above that, you've got the two bars either side, which hold the mesh. Is it that that you're talking about? Is that sort of coming down on your head?
Yes.
Your head too big?
I'm trying to think how to ask this delicately. But
well, I just did. His head's too big.
Is there enough hair based?
That's even worse.
Oh dear, that's worse.
Andy, I think we should leave now. Leave them to.
No, I've got normal head of hair. Thank you very much.
Okay, I wondered whether, because that would be a classic example of like young men designing products that.
Oh no, I've actually got very thick hair, so. But no, it's more the fact that because I walk around with them as well. And look, I'm almost starting to thinking that these aren't designed to be walked around with. I think these are designed to actually stay still.
Yeah.
Because if I'm still, they're fine. But if I walk around my house and, you know, your head's moving all over the place, it's because that one of those bars, Stephen, ends up touching, or it's more weight on one part of your head. That's where it starts. It's getting sore after a while.
Yeah, it's slightly imbalanced with the weight, isn't it? Mm. Because the side is, I mean, the ear cups are very heavy, and you know it doesn't balance well. So if you were to lean forward while you're wearing them, they will move. They will come forward, and you know that's the headphones I wear to do this are Bardynamics DT770s, and they're really good headphones. They're studio headphones. Not, I mean, they're not ridiculously expensive. In fact, they're a quarter of the price of the Apple AirPods Max. But they're just plug-in headphones, and I really like them, but they don't move. You know, no matter what I do, they don't come off my head, whereas these do occasionally. And also, you're right, the imbalance with the weight can be a problem, but I've not experienced the issue you have of the large head syndrome that clearly is dogging you there. That's not much fun. Yeah. But no, I mean, other than that, sound quality, what's your thoughts?
Sound quality has been very good, but there's still this consistent bug, and hopefully it'll be fixed in a firmware update. But if I transfer the audio from my Mac back to my iPhone, I can guarantee that within about 1 minute of my AirPods Max reconnecting, that my earphones will actually reboot. So everything goes off. So the noise cancellation goes off, the transparency mode goes off. It's like dead sound. And then the only way that I can get them back again is take the actual headset off my head, put them back on again. Then I can hear the noise cancellation or the transparency mode come back on again, and they start working again. So there's just those little tedious things that, well, I can say that word properly now. there are those random issues that keep happening. And I just think, for here in Australia, like those AirPods Max were $895. And I sometimes think, I don't know whether the headphones hardware wise might have been ready for release, but I don't know if the software was ready to be released or not.
I've not had many issues with them. I mean, I love wearing them. And interestingly, I find calls on them the most enjoyable. You said something on Twitter, actually, a while back, that you found them really useful when you were in the house. I mean, you could do things, and your child is noise sensitive. Is that right?
Yes, correct.
So, yep. You know, that helps because it means that, you know, they're not being bothered by any noises or anything else because you're wearing the headphones. But actually, I wonder, for somebody who is noise sensitive, if this could be useful. I'd be interested in this, because what I found wearing them was that the audio quality was such, it's very hard to describe, but it's very measured. It's obviously all this computational stuff that's going on inside, but the audio quality to me, it just seems very fitting. It's very pleasant to listen to. Nothing's too much. Nothing's blown out. Everything just feels very controlled in that environment. And when I'm having a conversation, and, you know, we've got to talk about the transparency mode here. The transparency mode is probably the best I've ever experienced. I feel like, I mean, right now I'm sitting here in front of a microphone with headphones on, and I can hear myself as clear as day because I'm talking through that microphone. It's exactly the same with those AirPods on. And I would wear those for any number of Teams calls or calls I've had, because I can hear the caller perfectly and myself at the same level. I've never had that with any other headphones I've used.
No, I agree. And look, the transparency mode is absolutely perfect. The other thing I loved about the AirPods Max was in the, I think it's accessibility headphone settings, where you can actually do a little test thing where it says, can you hear this sound? Can you hear this music? Yes. Can you hear this voice?
Yeah.
That really tailor makes the sound to fit your hearing.
And that's under accessibility, which people might not go hunting for, but that really does make the difference.
It does. Yeah. And look, I find the transparency mode is so clear that I can sometimes pick up things that my normal hearing wouldn't actually pick up. And the noise cancellation is absolutely excellent. So I did actually ask my son, who was noise sensitive, did he like, I tried them out on him, and he loved them because it really dampened the sound, because he
did
really,
he find that?
He did. He loved it.
That's interesting, because I did wonder that, because what I felt was that everything just felt a bit more comfortable. You know, normal audio from the computer just felt a little bit nicer, a bit not quite in your head as much in the way that sometimes, I mean, the headphones I have on just now, they can get a bit grating after a while. I don't get that with the AirPods Max, which is interesting.
There was one other problem. I don't know if you, David, or you, Stephen, have had this. I remember seeing this on Reddit, and there was a few people complaining on Twitter about condensation building up inside the ear cups.
Yeah.
One person I've seen here saying they've never been used in a humid environment, but the water gets inside the drivers and has caused ear detection problems as well.
That's
and
bizarre.
This is from someone who says they're just wearing them sitting inside a desk mainly, nothing crazy, but they're finding that condensation is building up inside after just a few hours of use.
That's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, you're wearing it wrong.
There's
condensation in their apartment, I don't know.
Maybe they live in Singapore or Malaysia or something.
Yeah.
I wonder where they were.
I want to ask about, is there a mode that can suppress other noises but let vocals through?
Well, that's interesting. So you're kind of talking that midpoint between transparency and...
Because
I don't think so.
There was one review I heard, they were talking about it on this podcast called Accidental Tech Podcast, and he put them on a plane, and the plane noise disappeared, but then he could hear someone's conversation like three rows
back. I was saying this months ago. I was talking about flight last year, or a year before, actually, where I got, it was when I got the the Bose QC35s, and I put them on a plane, and I thought, oh, wow, love how it silences everything out. Plane gets in the air, couple behind me start a fight.
Same.
And I stopped my audiobook because I was more interested in their argument, to be honest. So I was just sitting there munching away on... There's a theme developing here. Sitting there crisps. Munching away on something. And crisps. It was the free ones, obviously. And I munched away on those and had a great time listening to the argument. But yeah, it does. It's the frequencies it's cancelling out. So, you know, you get rid of all the airplane noise, but you can still hear what people are saying.
Because that would be brilliant for your son if it suppressed all the jangly noises around in the house, but you could still talk to him.
Guys, we're out of time. Can you believe it? We're out of time. That was the quickest hour of my life, and I've had a great time. And David, for him, I mean, you know, you're partway to, bed, I guess, and also drunk. So, you know, you're probably feeling it was like 10 seconds or 10
Absolutely.
Hours, depending
That's
on your view.
Correct.
But yeah, listen, thanks a lot for coming on. Really do appreciate it because, you know, it's really great to get your views on this, and I hope we can get you on again soon. I think we found the perfect way of getting you, which is late at night and also after a meal where you've had a couple of drinks. I think that's it. I think we've found the way to get David on. This is the way to do it. But yeah, that is it for us this week. Just a reminder, our Technology for Life features continue. You can find them as part of the show. If you go to the RNIB Tech Talk podcast, you can find that wherever you get your podcasts, all good ones and all bad ones. You'll find it there. Just search for RNIB Tech Talk, and we'll be back with you next week at the same time, of course. For now, though, David Woodbridge, just a reminder, you can get him on the IC podcast as well as the Vision Australia Talking Tech podcast. I always get it mixed up because it's the other way around from us. So the Talking Tech podcast is where you'll get him. And also you can get Robin Christofferson on the wonderful Dot to Dot podcast as well. And the Echo Show as well, he does. So yeah. And Andy, you're just there, aren't you?
I'm just here for good looks.
That is it for our show this week. Keep in touch. Sorry we didn't get to emails this week. We will next week for definite. That is it for us this week, though. Catch you next time on another Tech Talk. Cheers, guys.